Hello, and welcome to the Waffle Zone. I'm your host, Matt, and with me on the line, all the way over in Kansas City, Kansas, I have the flip-flop, the thong, I have the horseshite guru, Uncle Steve. Uncle Steve, how are you today? Well, I'm doing pretty good over here. Matt, how are you?
Hello. You have me stumped. I didn't know what you were doing or what to say.
Okay, how you doing? You doing all right, though?
We're doing all right here in the kingdom, all maybe. Right. We're doing pretty good.
Okay, well, good.
How are we over there?
We're good. You know, just tired as usual. So still trying to recover from a week of working nights. It's probably not as I'm probably not as jet lagged as the other person I'm about to introduce, but which that other person being over in Perth, Australia, Kirsty Prince. Kirsty, welcome.
Hello. I'm good, thank you. Yeah, I know this is the longest case of jet lag there's ever been, isn't it? I'm not too bad today.
Good. Glad to hear that. So, well, we're going to get right into this because I don't know about you guys, but I had a lot of time to listen to music and podcasts this week. So let's start with Kirsty. Kirsty, what kind of music did you listen to this week?
Well, I listened to some Iron Maiden because George posted on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Posted the first song, Satellite 15, The Final Frontier, and he thought he was the only one who liked it.
Yeah.
Or liked it as much as he does. Mm. And I said, you're not alone, and I posted that I was listening to it. There was plenty of people who were into it. Having talked about that, I wanted to listen to the whole album and obviously loved every single track on it.
Very good.
One of my favorites at the moment.
Yeah. That's good.
I listened to an album that's recently celebrated an anniversary.
It's
his 30th anniversary, Hole, Live Through This, which I think Bill from Music from a Lifetime might have forgotten. He hasn't done an episode on that. There was a tribute band coming up that were going to play the album in full, and Aaron really likes the album, and I thought we might go and decided to give it a play, but he's got to work that day, so that's not happening. And now,
I was going to say, did they have a song called Doll Parts? Or am I getting bands? It was them? That was a good track. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Too bad.
And this is what I guess you were hoping I was going to say was the anniversary album I listened to, Matt.
Oh, no.
I listened to...
Oh, no.
Alice in Hell.
Oh! What do you think of that?
I'm thinking we all listened to it this week.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, you know, the opening was a surprise with all the classical guitar. That was very nice.
Yeah.
And the first track's absolutely incredible. I really like the funky bass on the album. The first four tracks impressed me.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of it was good, but I kind of just started to notice individual tracks a bit less. But I've had it on pretty much all the time I've been in the car all week. It's really what I needed to wake me up. So I've been on 3 or 4 listens now.
Oh, I'm impressed by that.
Yeah. Schizo's Never Alone, that's another highlight for me. And because it's Spotify, it clicked over and started playing some music from another album. I like that one as well. I think it was called Stonewall or something.
Ah, oh, that's off Never Neverland, the second album.
Yeah, so I liked it very much. I'm looking forward to hearing what Steve has to say about it, I suppose.
I'm not.
What else do you listen to?
Green Lung, This Heathen Land. Still loving it. I guess everybody knows about that album by now. If you don't, you should. But when it finished, Spotify played me some Psychedelic Witchcraft, which I'd never heard before. And I really liked that one song, so I played the album, and that's called Sound of the Wind from 2017. So it's quite modern, but like Green Lung, it's got a classic 70s vibe, like blues and doom. Really great singer. She's called Virginia Monti. She's got other projects. I think she's quite famous, but I didn't know her. Anyway, I believe she plays guitar as well. And yeah, again, that means I found some modern music that I think Dino could like. I reckon you would.
Maybe.
You'd probably listen, say it was all right, and then never hear it again. And then a week later, say there's nothing good out. Mm-hmm. I've got my two new CDs. I've got Blaze and, you know, Circle of Stone and Bruce Dickinson, The Mandrake Project.
Okay.
So I listened to both of them this week and enjoyed every track just as much as I did when I first heard it, which is really good news.
Good.
And then I went to a concert on Saturday, so there's quite a lot of music there.
Wow.
So my friend Mark asked me last week, he said, last year, do you want to go to this concert? It's Birds of Tokyo, Eskimo Joe, Incubus, and it's outdoors at Hillary's. And I thought, yeah, that'll be nice. And like, I didn't even realize till last week that Live were actually the headline, because he didn't even mention them. Because, and then he messaged me the day before and he said he wasn't bothered about seeing Live. And he reckoned if we left after Incubus, we could be home by 9 o'clock. So I've got a confession to make. That was then. When the time came, that was very tempting to me as well. So I did skip Live.
Oh, you didn't say anything?
I skipped the last band. No, no. He just wanted to go straight away. I would have stayed for the beginning of it and then left. But I kind of wanted to go with him as well and share an Uber to our cars.
And there was one band.
There's no parking because you had to park. You had to get to Whitford's train station and then get a shuttle bus to the concert.
And there's one band you didn't mention there.
Yes, the Super Jesus.
What was that like?
Well, and that's the other thing. He didn't want to see the Super Jesus either.
Oh,
so,
did you miss them?
What are you doing? No. And he was like, oh, I'm free all day, but I'm not really bothered about seeing anything except those three bands. So no, I'm going to see the Super Jesus. Transfer me the ticket. So I drove to one train station, got a train to the next train station, went to get on the shuttle bus. They wanted $10 cash and I had no cash. And there was three other girls and they didn't have cash either. So I said, come on, let's get an Uber together. And I walked in and I got to like the front of the stage just as they were coming on.
Hmm.
And they were incredible.
I like them.
Like the singing guitarist, Sarah McLeod, she's got so much energy, rock star attitude, and really worked the crowd, which is like, it's incredible. Like in the middle of the day when you're the first band on.
Yeah.
To get everyone going that well is quite a feat, I think.
And they've been around a long time now.
Yeah, they have, but they've got some new music out. They played a new single.
Mm-hmm. Are they local to that area?
They're from Adelaide, so yeah, the first three bands were Australian.
Okay.
Mark arrived, they had a couple of songs left, and he was like, oh, they were really good, I wish I'd seen them. And he could have, he had nothing else going on, but you know, his loss.
Did they happen to do Secret Agent Man? That's my favourite track.
Oh, yes, they did. Yeah, that was a really good one. Everyone was singing along to that. And then Eskimo Joe, which I never really liked much when I first heard them on the radio, but they're fantastic live. The first time I saw them live, I totally changed my mind about them.
Hmm.
They started with the song Sarah that I was telling you about, Steve.
I heard about
Sarah.
Sarah.
Won't you tell me your name is the next line.
Okay.
I'm like, but you already know it's Sarah. Anyway, and then Birds of Tokyo. They're also from Perth. But they never disappoint. I've seen them absolutely heaps of times. I know some people call them LD Carnival because the singer's from Carnival. But they're just great. They're just like pop rock that's on the radio.
Mm.
How big are they? Like not within Perth, but within either Australia. I don't know if they've got international presence at all.
They're pretty big. And, you know, a lot of people like to not like them because they're a bit radio friendly.
Yeah.
But they're rock. And because they did, Ian Kenny, the singer, did the West Coast Eagles theme tune as well, and they reckon he's ruined that. Anyway, it's not like it was great in the first place.
That's good on that
cue for the Eagles. But yeah, that was such a good one, Birds of Tokyo. Even though it was late afternoon, the sound and lighting was so good. It was like a real crowd pushing and getting involved, and you could almost feel like they were the headline. So I was almost ready to go after those three. But Mark is really into Incubus, so we stayed right near the front. And even though it was getting really tight, They were very good. He's a very good singer. I'm not really interested. I don't listen to them. But they did some covers. They did some David Bowie, The Beatles, and Portishead. So that was really good. But yeah, then we ducked out before live, which is pretty poor, really, I know. I listened to Dance of the Death on the way home. And a little bit of Memorial Beach last night, and that's me for the week. And I'm sure Matt will tell us more about Memorial Beach, if I'm not wrong.
You might be wrong. Did I listen to that? I don't think I did.
I only got halfway, unfortunately.
You may be wrong, but for all Matt knows, you may be right.
Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah, it sounds like the sort of thing he'd say.
Yeah. Billy might say that.
Yeah. Maybe Joel would.
Yeah.
What did you listen to, Matt?
So this week I listened to not a new band, kind of newish for me. I've heard of them. I've heard some of them before. Witch Hazel. I was listening to a podcast and that name came up. I was like, oh, I remember that. I'm like, I have a bit of a listen. So I listened to an album, number 4. It's labeled as Sacrament. And I was like, oh, I kind of like this. It sounds a bit traditional metal-ish with some musical styles reminding me of Ghost every now and then. I was like, oh, it's pretty solid. Lots of harmonies, melodies. And I was like, oh, I'll listen to some more. So I went and listened to Witch Hazel 3, Pentecost. And I was like, this sounds exactly like the last album I just listened to. It could have just been one really long album. And by the time I got through with that, I was like, yeah, I kind of had enough. There wasn't enough. I liked it. It just wasn't enough variety for me. So I went and listened to some Anvil, Hope in Hell. And I really enjoyed that. I'm kind of digging a little bit of Anvil at the moment. Some Halloween, Keeper of the Seven Keys, Part 2. I just wanted to go back and listen to something that I was really familiar with, you know, some old school things that I liked. And then I was driven to go and listen to some Wasp. I was listening to a podcast episode. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go listen to Headless Children. And I kind of went on a little bit of a run from there. Because Headless Children, I'd liked Wasp before that album came out. Like tracks here and there. I wasn't really into albums or anything.
Yeah.
But Headless Children is where I went from kind of liking a song here and there to becoming a fan of that band. And it was because of the maturity in that album. Like, it changed. It was like they, you know, changed on a dime, basically. Everything changed. The subject matter, I thought the music changed a lot. And that's a great album.
Because you're a really mature guy.
No, but everyone has a dream. That was my dream, to one day I'd be as mature as Wasp. One day I'll get there,
You know, it's funny, though, because you went from vocals that, what was his name, Lips? Is that the guy that sings for Anvil? You went from Lips to Blackie Lawless. Like, you went from a dud to a stud.
He's not a dud. I can't imagine.
Well, compared to Blackie Lawless, he is.
You know what? I was thinking about this during the week. And as much as we've talked about Blackie Lawless in the past and how good he is, I still think he is really. Forget a singer, songwriter, guitar player, bass player, whatever. Just as a vocalist, I think he's still outstanding. I love Blackie Lawless, his vocals. Too.
Absolutely.
He can convey so much with his voice. His voice is an instrument. I don't care what people say.
Absolutely. I definitely agree. Mm-hmm.
Headless Children. And then I was like, oh, I want to listen to some more. So I listened to Babylon and I listened to Dominator.
Ooh.
And an album that I couldn't get into when it first came out was Golgotha.
Yeah.
And it used to just sit in my car because, you know, I had it on CD and I put it in and couldn't get into it for years and years. I'd try, I just couldn't get into it.
Yeah.
But within about the last 2 or 3 years, I was like, oh, okay, this song's kind of grown on me. And I really like it. And I've talked to you about it before. And it kind of reminds me of a continuation musically of Crimson Idol.
Okay.
Like, I could see the sound and all, not the subject matter or anything, obviously, or the lyrics, but just the sound of it. And there's some awesome, awesome tracks in that. But I ended up listening to that about four, it might have been even 5 times.
Really?
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it this week.
Oh, that song, that one song on there called Miss You.
Yeah, that's one of the ones I was telling Debbie about that during the week.
That is an incredibly awesome song. It's an amazingly the emotion that he sets out, puts through in that song is just like off the charts. It's so good.
It's out, It's outstanding. I just think he is so underrated. Like,
yeah.
I think when people think of Wasp, they think of those first few albums or whatever.
They think of Animal.
Yeah, and it's not that it's not fair. It's where they started out, but they're such a different band. And the turning point was Headless Children. And
oh, yeah, yeah.
It's great. But after that, uh-oh, all I did was listen to some Suicidal Tendencies, and it's called Freedom. Not Freedom, D-O-M.
D-U-M-B. Free,
that's the one, baby. Freedom.
I'll give him some credit for that. That's a good one.
Yeah, a little bit different. But yeah, going back to Anvil, I can't imagine a different singer. I don't know. I just really enjoy Anvil at the moment.
No, and I get it. I'm just saying, compared to Black You Lost, though, you went like from Lips to...
Variety is the spice of life.
Well, that's obvious in you with you, I guess. So.
No, I wasn't quite as a mixed bag this week as what I have been some other weeks. But no,
last week was crazy.
Yeah, I was kind of all over the place.
It's not it's not a sin to listen to that much variety.
No, sometimes it's good, but other times you've just done a bit of a narrow track and I was on a more mainline sort of thing this week.
Okay.
But no, this week. I didn't even realize that.
Oh. Wow.
That makes three of us. So good.
No.
Huh?
I did listen to half.
Didn't mention
half a concert on YouTube.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't even do that. Someone else. So in the last 7 days, I will just say that everyone talking during this call has listened to some Aha.
Not happily. I'll say it that way then.
I'll just say everyone listens to some Aha.
Okay. Well, someone badgered me long enough for me to finally go, okay, I'll play it. And what did I think it was a 4.5 minute song, and I made it through about a minute and 10 seconds. Oh. I'm just like, I can't do it anymore, man.
That's pathetic. Why didn't you keep going?
It was pathetic.
How did you know you like something?
That's why I quit, because it was pathetic.
Because he was thinking about the Pet Shop Boys.
I did not like that dude's vocals. I mean, I don't know what I could say.
He's like one of the best singers ever.
Oh, God, no. No.
Yes, he is.
You obviously didn't
give him a good enough try.
Imagine if Anvil was fronted by Morten Harkett.
You've heard Take On Me. Try singing along to that.
I'm not saying he doesn't have any range. I just didn't like his vocals. I mean, it just didn't work for me, you know? I just didn't like it. You know what? It was on Patreon. You heard it. You know what you heard that I listened, and it just didn't do anything for me. I remember playing it, and I just thought, I cannot believe that Matt and Kirstie are so obsessed with this.
Yeah, but that was at a time when I was, you know, when I would say growing up, you know, I was very young, and
it's current.
Basically, Matt and I have discussed, and we both had posters of Aha in our bedrooms.
Yeah,
we both had the same favorite member. Like, I didn't know boys would have a favorite member like that, but yeah.
Well, only boys that were touched by the hand of God. That's it.
Oh. Go there. What time is it? It's
yeah,
time.
Yeah,
hanging up time.
There's no big hand touching a little hand here, my friend.
So yeah, anything else? Is that all for you?
No, I just finished with Wasp and Suicidal. Okay.
Well, good deal. Well, this week I listened. my listening was a little bit different this week here, so I'll go in reverse order. I listened to a Black Sabbath album the other day. I listened to their album called Sabotage. It ends with a song called The Writ, which is a song that they basically wrote about their managers and stuff that had been just screwing them over. And it's a pretty vicious song lyrically. And Ozzy sounds angry when he's singing it. It's so awesome. But that's a good album. Then I listened to I was going to say this is the most bizarre thing I listened to all week, but it's definitely not the most bizarre thing. Then I listened to an album by the Beatles. I don't know why. But
is it because...
I think it was because we discussed...
We talked about Rubber Soul last week,
yes,
didn't we?
Yeah, yeah. So I did listen to... what was the one song that we were talking about that wasn't on Rubber Soul?
We Can Work It Out.
Yeah, so I listened to the single, We Can Work It Out, and then I listened to Rubber Soul, so... I didn't like it as much as I used to, but by the end of the album, I was just like, it's still a pretty solid album. I like it. Another artist I was talking, I think I talked about last week, I listened to the debut album by Ted Nugent. And it was like on Spotify. So as the album was ending, and then it went into like, what are they, you know, when they make all the bonus material and stuff that they throw on everything. And I didn't realize it. And I was driving. So I had to listen to like half of a live concert. And I like Ted Nugent as a musician, but like the amount of energy he has, he would get in the microphone and just scream for it seemed like 30 seconds straight. And I'm like, holy crap. I like Ted Nugent as a musician, but other than that, he kind of annoys me a bit at times. Now,
as a human being,
I agree. I mean, look, I agree with some of the things he has to say, but I hate that. I'll say this: the last time he was going to play a concert here, I thought about going, and then I found one of his recent concerts. I started watching it, and I saw there was like a 15-minute political rant, and I just thought, I don't care. I don't want to listen to David Crosby do a political rant, and I don't want to listen to Ted Nugent. You know, both either side of the fence. I don't want to hear it. So, it's. I was like, that'd be the time to go, you know, hunt for a T-shirt, I guess, if I was going to buy one.
It's interesting you said, because I saw a post or a message from Alice Cooper to do with, don't listen to any of us, make your own decisions and stuff. Sure, like this. And sure. Something similar.
Yeah.
Something similar coming out from Patrick Mahomes. You don't need to hear, you know, the Chiefs quarterback. You don't need to hear my opinion or anything. Go make your own decision and vote.
Yeah. Sure.
I like that.
Sure,
independence.
Yeah. I do like it when I get it. They're human beings and with social media, everybody has way more of a platform. You know, used to the only place you'd hear it was in a newspaper or a magazine. And now it's like anytime they have a thought, they can just go on social media and you can, you know, it makes them more personable and it's good in some ways. But in, you know, when it's something like that, it gets old.
Well, it'd be better if they got it all out of the way on social media and then just played songs at their concerts.
Right.
Now they've got that outlet.
Yeah, because I thought I would. I was like, man, I'd love to go see him play some of his old music and just to, you know, because I do like a lot of his stuff. But I just thought I don't want to have to listen. And I know it wouldn't be just 15. It'd probably be more than 15 minutes, you know. And he would just and he does so much of it now publicly that I've seen it on. You know, I see it occasionally on Twitter, and I'm just like, I wouldn't want to sit through that at a concert. I did it once at a Crosby, Stills, Nash concert, and it was annoying as hell listening to them go on about their causes and things. I'm just like, just shut up. I remember I yelled it out, shut up and play a song. You know, because I didn't know they were going to do all that. I just thought, you know, cool, go hear them, you know, play some songs. And I didn't realize I was getting the that whole thing. I'm not a very informed person, so I live in a bubble, so...
Yeah, that's for sure.
Next, the next album I listened to is by far the most bizarre album that I've listened to in a long, long time. And I'm going to say this too, because I don't know if I don't know what his name is anymore, Bringer of Death or whatever. George, formerly of the Metal Gods, formerly of the Judas Priest cast, currently of the... music
Metal Planet.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Him, I'm going to say this, him and our old buddy Feck, who I told, I gave Feck a little advice yesterday for his podcast. I said, since his friend was going by the Big Mouse, that maybe he should start going by the Big Cheese or the Big Cat or something, you know? Kind of, you know, Feck likes to get advice, unsolicited advice, so I thought I'd offer him a little bit. But I think Feck... I mean, I'm just going to call him the Big Cheese. I think the Big Cheese and George would both probably want to give this album a listen. It's the most bizarre album. I listened to a podcast, and this album got mentioned. And I thought, this has got to be, like, just the weirdest thing ever. The goofiest thing ever. So, do y'all remember those... y'all are both from... other places, but you know, there's the product called it's like beef jerky, Slim Jim. Do you remember either of you know like what that is?
I know what jerky is.
Little processed meats.
Yeah, and then they had the guy that was doing the advertising for it, Randy the Macho Man Savage. You know who he is?
He was a wrestler.
He was a famous wrestler back in like the 80s and probably the 90s. I don't know how long he wrestled.
All right, so that's why you said George and Feck.
Yeah, because they're both into wrestling.
They like wrestling.
Yeah. So I was listening to a podcast about Randy the Macho Man Savage. Someone wrote a book, and I just thought, okay, I remember him. And I was driving all week, you know, for a long time, and I was just trying to find stuff. So I listened to it, and they ended up saying that he had recorded a rap album. And I was like, he recorded a rap album? And there's one song that's like a complete diss track to Hulk Hogan. So the album, the artist is Randy the Macho Man Savage, and the album is called Be a Man. And I just thought, you know, I had 10 hours a night that I was driving for 4 days in a row. So I had 40 hours of drive time this week. And it was just funny to listen to the raps and listen to this guy, because he's, you ever heard him talk? You know how he talks, Matt?
Yeah, real kind of gruffy.
He's like, ooh, yeah. Like, and all his raps kind of sound like that voice. It's just funny as hell to listen to the whole thing. And I was wondering, as I was listening.
You listened to a whole album, but you couldn't listen to one whole Aha song.
Yeah, but I wasn't expecting, I was expecting humor from this, and I got it. Y'all are listening to that as serious music that you think is really good. I couldn't listen to it as serious music that I thought was good. So, yes, I made it through a minute and 10 seconds of an Aha. I've probably heard the whole Take On Me song.
That's like the least, the song I want to hear the least.
Well, of course. I mean, but that's, I just, I don't want to hear them. I just didn't like what I heard. I was, you know, and then when Matt was like, oh, play the live version because it's got all this guitar. I'm like, if I want to listen to a song with guitar, man, I'll go play a band that I like that actually has good singing and stuff.
Mm.
I mean, look, I'm not trying to insult it. You brought it up and you said everyone listen to it. I wasn't going to say anything about Aha. I just didn't like what I heard. I mean, I'm not sitting here saying he's shite. I just didn't like it. It just wasn't for me. So
that's fine.
And then Kirsty's bringing it back up because she's, oh, you couldn't listen to that. But this album, it was just funny to listen to this. I mean, I remember listening to it and trying to decipher the rap lyrics, and especially because I heard him say, yeah, you know, what he said about Hulk Hogan in that one song, and I was like, oh my gosh, and I heard it, and it's just, I can't remember what it is, but it was just so funny. It was so funny to listen to. So I wonder if George or Feck has ever heard that album, and if they haven't, I'd be interested to see what they thought about it, because Randy the Macho Man is like just one of the biggest wrestlers ever, one of the, you know, he's just got like this huge reputation, and just, he's like worldwide phenomenon because of the wrestling and the commercials he did and stuff like that. So, and that album is just funny, man. It was funny to listen to that. So, and then I also watched a couple of concerts on YouTube this past week too, like Kirsty did. I watched a 1986 concert from Cinderella where they were the opening band. They were opening for David Lee Roth. It was like an arena show, and it was so bizarre to watch it because you remember how we would go to an arena show back in the day in the 80s or something. Maybe not you, Matt, but Kirsty would probably saw more of that. And, you know, it would be...
Maybe.
You're in a big arena. There's a big opening band and then a pretty well-known... there's a big headliner and a pretty well-known opening band. And just watching it, I got just such... It brought me back in time to, like, wow, I remember going and seeing, like, Kiss in a big arena and Iron Maiden in a big arena before all the outdoor venues were a thing around here. And it was just, it was, and they sounded awesome. Like, Tom Kiefer sounded so good singing those songs in 86. And then I also watched, I found a headlining set that they did in 1991, which was the Heartbreak Station tour. And I just thought, I was just in the mood to watch, you know, something. And so I turned it on and I was doing some stuff and I had it playing in the background and just watching it. And it was cool. They put on a good show and I really enjoyed it. And I listened to Long Cold Winter, Night Songs, Heartbreak Station, and Still Climbing this week again. I think the album I listened to the least, though, Matt, I might be having a switch on my rankings on their albums, though.
You are?
Yeah, I might be liking Night Songs better than Long Cold Winter now. I might be. Because Night Songs is all pretty solid. There's a couple of songs on Long Cold Winter that The Last Mile and whatever.
I don't mind that.
Huh?
Yeah, I don't mind that track.
It's okay. It's just a little too happy for me. And then what's the closing track on Long Cold Winter? It's let's see here. If it'll pull up, Take Me Back. I don't really, that one's kind of happy sounding too, but like Fire and Ice, the song, If You Don't Like It on Long Cold Winter. God, I love that one so much. And of course, Long Cold Winter. I listened to that a few times during the week and every time I just kept thinking about what you were saying about how you thought it was a little ridiculous how he sings that. And I just thought, God, I love that so much. So,
Oh, he didn't come around to my way of thinking on that track.
No, I didn't. I haven't made a 360 on it yet. So, but
start off on one spot and come back to the same opinion.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I still like it. But I was just thinking because I never really got into Night Songs a whole lot. Like I always kind of liked Night Songs and what's the ballad called?
Off Night Songs. Yeah. Nobody's Fool.
Nobody's Fool. Somebody Save Me. And that's probably about it. I didn't really listen to a whole lot on that album. Like, I don't know why. But I liked them, but I just didn't listen to it. And but I've been listening to it like Nothing for Nothing's awesome. Once Around the Ride is awesome. Somebody Save Me is still awesome. In From the Outside is really cool with that riff. You know, there's some really cool riffs on that album.
That's got a real swing to it, that track.
Oh, yeah. And then Heartbreak Station. I probably listened to that album about 3 or 4 times this week. And way more than I ever have. I'm kind of getting more of a feel for the songs, you know, like, you know, sometimes like, you know how I told you on Bruce's new album that it was about 5 or 6 listens in where I was going like, oh man, I'm really starting to dig certain things that I didn't like at first. And I never gave Heartbreak Station 5 or 6 listens when it came out. I mean, it might've got a couple. And then I was kind of like, okay, I like these 3 or 4 songs and I would just skip everything else. But, and then of course I listened to Still Climbing a lot too. And I'm making a chart on my phone and I'm trying to go back. You know how on Setlist FM you can look up like a venue and see when a band played there and what their set was. So I don't know if y'all know this, but if you go to a venue on there and click on the venue itself, you can look at every show that was played at the venue that's been listed.
Yeah.
And so I've been going through there and I've been trying to make a running list of all the shows I attended back in the day. And I was looking at one venue though, and I saw recently, I guess about 5 years ago, God, no, that'd be like 7 years now. Tom Kiefer played at this venue, and I saw that the opening, that he opened his set with the title track off of Still Climbing, and I just thought, oh my gosh, I would have loved to have seen that. So, but so I listened to all of the Cinderella albums this week. I was pretty heavy on them throughout the week when I went and listened to other things. I just kept kind of coming back to that. And then I listened to 2 other albums by one artist, 2 albums by that artist I've never, ever heard in my life. And that artist, Matthew, was the artist I just mentioned, Tom Kiefer. I listened to, he has 2 solo albums. And I listened to each one of them once. And I thought I liked the second one a little better than the first. But it was kind of hard. It was just because he doesn't sound quite the same. You know, obviously it's so many years later that he recorded these albums. So I feel like those need at least some more listens before I can give any kind of fair assessment on them.
Would that be post-vocal surgery, perhaps? They had something to do with that? Or is it not at that time?
Yeah, I think those would definitely both be past that, yeah. So
maybe that's got something to do with it.
Yeah, but I mean, there was they did a cover of Nobody's Fool on the first album, and I think it's he does a duet with his wife, and his wife's got a really good voice, too, so...
Mm.
So, yeah, so that was all of my album listening for the week. So how about we go to a podcast and see if Kirsty listened to any podcast this week?
I did listen to some.
Yeah.
I listened to some Music from a Lifetime. Our friend Metal Kevin.
Would you?
At
the Metal Cabin?
He did... Metal Kevin from the Metal Cabin.
Yeah.
He did that Alice in Hell Annihilator anniversary show, and he listened 20 to 25 times for that, he said.
Oh, my God.
Quite a bit more than my 3 or 4 in the last week.
Yeah.
That was really good. He picked some good tracks from that. So I think Matt's probably going to have to say something about this as well.
Yeah, I don't know what made him do that. It was a good choice, though.
I don't know. I don't know if somebody might have given him a heads up, or maybe he did it Maybe he was going to do it anyway.
Maybe so. Did you
what?
Mention what? It on the podcast 50 million times in a
William, I don't know. What prompted him to do it? I didn't message him about that. I was just, when you told me, you sent me that message during the week, and I was like, oh, because I think it was like 10 o'clock at night. I was like, I never listen to podcasts at night, but I'm going to go listen to this. And I did it straight away. I couldn't stop tapping my, I was lap drumming. I was drumming on my lap the whole time through and tapping my foot. Enjoyed it.
Oh, and then you were all pumped and you couldn't go to sleep.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Yeah, I was. I was like, don't listen to Thrash after 10 p.m.
Well, I mean, he sent me a message privately and he said that he had gotten some threats about if he didn't do that album. So he said he felt like he had to.
Oh, is that how it went?
That's what he said. That's what he said.
Oh, that's interesting because Aha's got an anniversary.
If he was doing it because he felt like he had to, I don't think he'd have given it 25 listens.
Yeah, he said he had to make sure it was good because of the, you know, threat on his life.
Mm. Fair enough.
He could have just listened to three songs and then gave a judgment on it.
Yeah, he could have done. We don't like it when people do that, though, do we?
No.
And I went back and checked out his Sonic Temple episode as well, which was really good. I know you listened to that the other week, Steve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm just catching up on that. I listened to, on your podcast, Steve, mm-hmm. Chip Ross last week giving his recount of his night at the Mandrake Project show. Bruce Dickinson. Well, that was awesome. He really set the scene there. We know who he met. Everything. It was just like being there. I enjoyed it so much.
Who he almost fell in love with.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit of a roller coaster of a story, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I guess if you're not trying to avoid spoilers, I highly recommend listening to this one.
Yeah.
It's very entertaining. And obviously, I listen to lots of your Patreon content, and I can't talk about it, unfortunately. But there's some good stuff in there this week.
Oh, yeah, big time. Yeah.
Feckology. With your mate Feck. What are you calling him now?
The Big Cheese?
I can't see that catching on.
How about the big dog? Anyway. The big cat? Cat and mouse?
I think he can stick with Trainer. That's okay. I can't get used to calling him anything other than Feck or Fergal. But anyway, Feckle. We all know who it is. Did a really good episode Feckle. About Friend.
Don't call him Feckle or Feckle.
Sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Sorry, I didn't realize how it came out. Sorry, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead, Kirsty. Sorry.
Oh no, it's a nice little podcast. I'm liking the 20-minute format.
I do too. I think that's a good idea.
I feel like I can listen to them talk about anything.
Yeah.
I suppose that's a point, really, isn't it? They're just talking about anything.
Go ahead.
Who's laughing?
Oh, sorry.
Does someone need to go outside?
No, I just...
You just stand outside the door.
Go ahead, sorry.
That's okay. Metal Planet, episode 2. That's George's podcast. And he had Connor Warman as his guest.
Okay.
He's from London or the Camden area. So he was talking about venues like the World's End, which is like a really big pub. You can go through that pub and you feel like you're on a pub crawl. It's so big. I absolutely love it there. And you go underground, there's a big band, you know, where you watch bands called the Underworld.
Sorry.
It's okay. Carry on. You need to calm down. Taylor Swift reference.
Keep going.
Is that your real laugh?
I'm trying to cover it up and stuff, that it's not working.
Don't cover it up. That's like it. Don't mute.
I won't cover it up.
It's not allowed. Apparently, it's gold.
Ooh. It is.
Yeah. So anyway, so he talked about Camden, and it made me like. Think about when I used to go to Camden in my 20s. And the Electric Ballroom, I used to go there on a Friday night. It was like a goth nightclub on a Friday night. But, yeah, he's seen Tail Gunner and Witch Hazel there, which I'm guessing might be why Matt listened to Witch Hazel. But he introduced us to four bands on the podcast. But one was Green Lung. Obviously, he already knew them. And that's what made me give that album a play. Connor said the other day he might start his own podcast. I think he'd be really great at it. He's really good.
How old is he?
He's really good as a guest. He's 18 years old.
Golly.
And he's listened to like nearly every album that's ever been released and done a review on it. And he speaks so well. And I think he'd have a great future doing something like that.
But was it that he's only been listening to metal for the last few years or just certain bands?
He's listened to nearly everything.
Yeah, maybe. He said he started getting into something like during COVID.
Yeah. You're still laughing at yourself.
Someone's texted me. I'm sorry. I just saw it. Something. No, but part of it is the fact that podcasting is a thing now. And he's also at that age. He's at the age of where you're discovering so much. Like, think if podcasting was a thing back when we were 13, 14, and up to, the age where you get done with high school and you're when you finish your main school, you have so much more time to do like that. Gosh, I would love to.
But not many of us would be able to do a good review and to speak as well as he can at 18. I know I still can't, so.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, that's all my podcasts for the week, I think.
let's see what the let's see what's in the captain's log over here on Matt's side. Oh,
yes, well, no, William Shatner. That was last. Whoa, I tell you what. Speaking of captain's log, this is funny. Well, not funny, but so I listened to Jim Jefferies. His I Don't Know About That podcast.
Oh, is that a new podcast you started listening to?
No, I used to listen to this all the time, and I was about 8 or 9 months behind.
Oh, man.
But he did an episode on the Beatles. I think I've come forward. I've missed a whole lot, but I looked at a couple of the most recent episodes, although this was from October. Mm-hmm. He did the Beatles, but it was just funny because the very tail end of our call last week, when you were trying to remember what the Beatles song was.
Yeah.
And what was it? What was the Lizard?
King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Yeah. So it was funny that talking about what they were talking about, the Beatles and all this sort of thing, that they talked about the Gizzard Lizard as well. I was like, oh, that was kind of interesting. So they talked about Rubber Soul, and it was just interesting timing. So I gave that one a listen. He also had another interesting episode, and I kept trying to skip over it for a start. It was on poop. It was just called Poop. And I learned a whole lot more than I thought was possible during that episode. It was kind of funny and informative. Then I moved on to some fecology. And I'm enjoying the fecology. There was Fist Pints, which was episode 3, talking about overbearing waitresses and waiters and stuff like this. And I've had the opposite.
See, we don't get that in Perth.
No, because
people just give you your food and walk off, and that's it. You never see them again.
I don't know. Perfect. Yeah, I don't know what it's like where he is, but obviously here in the US, it's very tips oriented.
Mm. Yeah.
But it's funny. I used to go. This is over 10 or 12 years ago. I used to go to Denny's. It's like a little diner. Well, it was a big diner chain. Mm-hmm. Late at night for a coffee with some friends, and it was the total opposite. The guy that was there that used to serve us late at night was horrid, and. In the end, I used to call the place and ask if this person was there, because I knew his name. Is such and such working there tonight? And if they said no, I would go there. If they said yes, then I'd go somewhere else. In the end, they would say no, and I'd get down there, and he would be there. But there was times where he'd just thrown the menus. I mean, thrown the menus across the table. Or he's like, I can't deal with these people. And all. I don't know. It's just the opposite of what Vic was talking about here. But I also listened to his episode 4, Shite Friendships. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I've ever had any kind of issue with anything like that. And then I thought about it. And I was like, oh, you know when they say look around the room if you can't see the fool? It's like, oh, I wonder if I'm the offending partner on that.
Matt was probably, like, I think I'm in a...
I bet you are. There'll be people going, I sent him a text 2 years ago. He still hasn't got back.
Well, friendship requests from you back in the...
A decade early ago.
No, it's, yeah, something like that. There is a couple of those. I'm sure that you'll probably mention this, Uncle Steve. Some Jim Florentine, his O.J. Simpson episode.
Yeah.
And so it was very OJ dominated for a start, and then he goes on to his other things. But
he is obsessed with OJ, apparently.
Yeah, but there was one interesting thing. So obviously OJ Simpson was let off for murder, or no, he was innocent. He was innocent of the charge. You know, read between the lines of what happened there, everyone knows. But one interesting comment that he had was he was hoping that the family would have his brain tested.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, what was that for? And then he talked about, I don't know what the name of it is, but all these head injuries.
Like
He said CT, but I don't know what that's short for.
Kirsty would know, probably.
Computed tomography, it's short for.
What?
Computed tomography. And tomography means when you do an X-ray, you do a scan, but then you sort of reconstruct it so it looks like lots of little slices through the brain.
Oh,
so you can kind of see inside and get a closer look.
Yeah. It was interesting because if it was something like that, and there's been some, you know, studies and news about all the head-on-head collisions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wonder if that did have something to do with it. You never know, because he kind of went, you know, a bit off the deep end there for a bit. Not that it doesn't excuse anything. It was just an interesting point that he made. So yeah, I had to listen to some Jim Bob. And then after that, I did also listen to Metal Planet with Connor Warman. And I really liked hearing about all the venues. Yeah, it's good to hear about the bands and all, but venues and what atmospheres are like at different places. It's pretty cool. And I'm really liking what George is doing with that series. So it'd be interesting just to hear. And actually, that's why I went off and listened to Witch Hazel for a couple of albums during the podcast. I went and paused it, went away, listened to two of the albums, and then come back and listened to the rest, but really enjoyed it. So what else did I have here? Music for a Lifetime. My God. I tell you what. Oh, Billiam, he put some episodes out last week. So he had a Black Sabbath episode on Headless Cross. And I'd never listened to that, but I do remember being in high school and those kids wearing the T-shirts and all that sort of thing. And that's before I think I'd heard anything other than maybe Paranoid. That's probably the only trip I knew. But it sounded okay, but the music that he played on there, it just reminded me of something like movies from the 80s or maybe the 90s where if they want to put a rock song in, something that's easily accessible or that they would show during montages or something like that. And that Tony Martin is very, very Dio-esque with his style of singing. That's all I could think of during that. But it was, you know, it's a good episode still. But other than that, then he started pumping out the jams. So Annihilator, I told you about that. I was right into that. I don't know what prompted him to do that, but good job there, Bill. Really, really enjoyed that. It's funny to hear. If I play the album, I hear it one way, but to hear people talk about it, and sometimes there's things that you don't know, sometimes there's things you do, but I just like to hear the stories about it. So I really, really enjoyed that episode. It's a little album that I care for quite a bit. Then he also had Wasp, The Headless Children. And that's what sent me down the little Wasp run that I had during the week.
Yeah.
Another really good episode. And he did mention, you know, Chris Holmes, and I think, Chris Holmes is a really important part of Wasp in the early era. And I think I've talked to you about it, Steve. Like you can hear his style.
Oh, his guitar sound is distinct.
Yeah, he's not just a guitar player. He has his own sound and everything that's, you know, I noticed the difference, you know, for good or for bad, I noticed the lack of a Chris Holmes in some of those later albums. Yeah. But then having said that, what's the guy's name that plays with Wasp now? I can never remember it.
Doug Blair?
Yeah, he is really, really good, though.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, but, Chris Holmes definitely had his own style, but that was another episode that I really enjoyed. What else did he put out that I listened to? Music from a Lifetime, Mortal Sin. Did you ever hear it? No, you wouldn't have heard of this band, I wouldn't have thought, Kirsty.
No, I hadn't.
Before your time.
I haven't listened to the episode either.
It was
before my time.
Well, before your time in Australia.
Fair play.
It's all right. Your time will come. Someone said that. The Face of Despair episode. So I was like, oh, this is a really cool week, the stuff that he was putting out. And so Mortal Sin was a thrash band that came about in the in the late 80s in Australia, which is kind of unusual that a band back then, other than something like AC/DC and what's was essentially kind of niche within Australia, that sort of style of music, that they got as much exposure as they did. And some of the stories he told, I had no idea about. I remember I had this album, but I didn't realize all the problems that they were plagued with. I was on the other side of the country growing up. But listening to this, and one of the points he made, it might sound dated now, this style of music, you know, been there, done that kind of thing. But back in the day, when this came out, it was really, really exciting to listen to. So that was a real good episode that he put out there. And then the last thing I think that I had for the week was Metal Chat with Melissa, Hell's Heroes episode with George. And they recapped the events down in Houston for the festival that they went and saw. And it sounds like, for the most part, it was a lot of fun with the incident maybe dropped in here or there. But some of the bands, you know, I wasn't really interested in some of the bands that they talked about, but I really enjoyed the conversation between George and Melissa about, you know, said band, whatever it was. So no, that was a really good one. It was a good little recap of the show. And I like to hear all the behind the scenes things that were going on, you know, problems getting to hotels or problems with this or good things with that. So it was good. But that was my podcasts for the week.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
Now, how long is this one going to be since you were driving for 40 hours?
I listen to a lot, so I'm going to have to try to rifle through here because I mean, I've got a page of them. Mm-hmm. The VRP pod, VRP Rocks with Paul, Kirsty, you know his last name, right? The guy, remember the guy, Paul, that I did the little blurbs for? God, I can't
Stevens?
Think of Paul Stevenson, that's his name.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I think that's why I asked you, you'll remember these things. So I listened to a bunch of, he interviews people all the time. So I listened to a bunch of stuff he did. He had one with J.J. French of Twisted Sister, which was a really cool interview. One with Ace Frehley, which was really cool. And of course, it's funny because he's trying to really, you know, he's really good at directing interviews, this guy, Paul. And he's trying to direct Ace Frehley. And you can just tell, you can hear, even in his description, he's like, I'm trying to direct Ace, but Ace just kind of goes where he wants. It's pretty funny.
Wasn't he going to CVS?
I don't know. Then he talked to Russ Ballard. He's the guy who wrote Into the Night on Ace Frehley's Frehley's Common album. He wrote New York Groove. And he wrote, God, there's something else he's real famous that he wrote too. But he was in the band Argent. They're the ones that wrote God Gave Rock and Roll to You. They're the ones that have this famous song called Hold Your Head Up. But he was the songwriter for lots of people. He's written a lot of songs with a lot of people. It's pretty cool to hear him too. Lou Gramm, the guy who was the lead singer of Foreigner back in the day. Interesting interview with him. Nita Strauss, Alice Cooper's guitar player, and she's a solo artist. It was cool to hear her. That was kind of a weird one because it was her and her manager / boyfriend. And it was weird because you're listening to an interview with Nita Strauss and then he would start answering the question sometime. I thought, But and then the last one was with Simon Phillips, who is a session drummer and from the early 70s. And he played on Judas Priest's album, Sin After Sin. And it was really cool to hear how he got into playing music with his dad. And he just built a name for himself like really, really young because he was like so good. And he somehow got in with the bass player for Deep Purple, who happened to be producing Judas Priest's album, and they needed a drummer, and they brought him in. And he's played on albums from, you know, Toto and with Mick Jagger and, you know, all the way to Judas Priest. So he's played like all over the map. Then I listened to some Metal Kevin music from a lifetime, or I don't know, I think the thing says Metal Cabin, maybe. I'm not sure what it is anymore. I have no idea what that person at the beginning is saying, so, you know. But I listened to quite a few episodes that he did, even on bands that I didn't care about. One was, actually, this might be a song, one of these, this album might have had a song on it that I heard Bruce Dickinson sing live once. Album by a band called Elf. The Dio's, mm-hmm. I guess Dio's old band.
I listened to that one as well.
The clips.
That was a good episode. I like that music.
Oh my god, those clips that he played were bizarre. I was just like, it was like honky tonk music.
I know.
It was
unexpected.
Yeah.
Oh, so I talked about it last week.
You talked about it last week.
Yeah. I went back and had a look this week. The album that Bill played is not the album that I enjoyed last year, and I felt so good after that because I was like, how did I listen to this and like it? It was a different album.
Well,
I don't think I'd play it again, but I kind of liked hearing it because it was totally nothing like what you would expect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No wizards or Dungeons and Dragons or anything. But I listened to that specifically because Matt had talked about it, and I was just like, okay, you know, I'm just trying to kill time. It's a short episode. Another one, of course, that I listened to because Matt's been talking about it incessantly is Annihilator. And when I listened to all the tracks that played, I just thought, good God, I would never want to listen to this album. So, but it was interesting hearing him talk about it, even though I really thought it was not good. So the next one I listened to was Love at First Sting, the Scorpions album. And that was a really interesting one. And you know, we talked about the Scorpions a bit with Villa when he was on, and we were talking about Klaus Meine and his vocals. Matt, we can hear you typing. It's way too loud.
Oh, sorry, that was my pen.
Oh, we were doing it for a reason.
Oh, so
because we couldn't hear you for a minute, and we were wondering whether to bring it up.
Oh, okay.
And now we have.
Okay, well that's okay. I'll just keep talking. Y'all won't care. You won't feel like you missed nothing.
If you think we're not listening, it's because we can't hear, not because we're not listening.
Sometimes people are sending me pictures off of Twitter while other people are talking. So, and then they make me laugh. And so, wow. Did you see my comment back, Matt? Anyway, Love at First Sting. I listened to that one, the Scorpions one. And it's funny because I read a little blurb that the guitar player from the Scorpions said about his brother. So the guitar in the Scorpions is Rudolph Schenker, and his brother is Michael Schenker. And Michael Schenker incessantly just talks really bad about Rudolph. And but in the interview, all Rudolph just says is how much I just love my brother, and you know, blah. He said, I won't say a bad thing about him, you know, but whatever. And it was interesting. I listened to the one he did about The Offspring. Their album.
Hey, just quickly before you do move away from the Scorpions, I realized something. So the other week, when I mentioned Scorpions and I couldn't get into the vocals, since you brought that up.
Yeah.
But his style, the way he sings, I listened to another German artist. I heard a couple of songs during the week.
Mm-hmm.
And very reminiscent of that. It was Dora Pesch.
Okay.
They almost sound the same, the way they sing. And I don't really care for her. I like some of the songs.
Yeah.
But her delivery just reminded me of that as well. That nasally kind of vocal that she has. But anyway, that was it.
I like a lot of the Scorpions songs. Like, I'm pretty sure I've listened to Love at First Sting before, and there's a lot of good stuff on it. It's a good album. But yeah, I listened to the Offspring Smash episode that he did, and it was interesting hearing him talk about them. I also listened to that Headless Cross episode. And the clips that he played, what I thought of his vocals, I thought this guy sounds a lot like Dio, except I felt like Tony Martin had a better range than Dio did, at least what I heard on there. So, but yeah, those songs kind of have a certain amount of generic rock sound to them. And then the last one I listened to from Metal Kevin was the Headless Children episode. And it's funny because I had a conversation with Bill in the last couple of weeks, and we were actually talking about the head. I didn't realize he was preparing for a Headless Children episode, but we were talking about Forever Free from the Headless Children. So, and how you know that part on, you know, that song, Matt, where he sings that part, forever in my heart, a fire burning. I wake up nights and hear her crying. And the way he sounds so passionate when he sings that, so awesome.
Yeah.
I listen to the Decibel Geek podcast. They have an episode called Geek Wire that I always listen to when it comes out. It's the news, and so I listen to that. I listen to one of Matt's mates, Talk is Jericho. And I haven't listened to him in a while, but I just like I said, I was trying to find stuff. So I listened to about, let's see, three episodes. One was called Billy Mitchell, the Prince of Pac-Man and the King of Kong. And this guy is just like a world champion scoring game player and stuff. And it's interesting hearing him talk about video games and going to arcades back in the day and just kind of that vibe. And I remember doing that as a kid, and it was like a whole thing, man, to get like $10 mm-hmm. and go to an arcade and just play games for hours on end. It was fun. Another one I listened to was called In Search of the Pioneers of WrestleMania. It was some guy that wrote a book, and it was just interesting conversation. And then the last one was called Dig It, The Life and Times of Randy Savage, which is where a guy wrote a book about him, and that's where they got to talking about that rap album. And I just thought, that's got to be funny. So listen to Jim Florentine, awful Yelp reviews. I had heard the OJ one last week, but yeah, I listened to that one, the OJ one as well. So then I listened to an Eddie Trunk podcast. He had Tom Kiefer and Jeff Pilson in two separate interviews, and it was cool to hear Tom Kiefer talk. He just sounds like the nicest guy in the world. He just seems so
humble,
and down to earth. And like I said, I met him once, and he was exactly the same way. Like, I ran up in a guitar show, I saw him, and I just walked up to him, and I was just telling him stuff, and he's like, "Man, thanks. I really, really appreciate like the nice words." He was so, like, for a guy that sold probably 10 million albums, you know, and he's real down to earth, and he just loves the music. He loves being a musician and playing music, and he's all about it, and it's cool. Then I listened to, three episodes of the Twilight Zone podcast. One was called You Drive, one was called Ring-a-Ding Girl, and one was called 90 Years Without Slumbering, which sounds like Kirstie's last week or so.
Yeah, that feels like 90 years.
Yeah. Two more. I listened to Feckology. I listened to the one about advice. The one called Fist Pints, and the one about shite friendships. And the shite friendships things wasn't quite what I was expecting, but the advice one I could really relate to, because, you know, people just always want to throw advice at you, and I enjoyed them. But yeah, I like the format that they're doing too. I think it's a good format to just say, hey, let's do this. We're only going to talk for about 20 minutes and we're done. And so it makes it quick and concise. So
it goes very quick.
Yeah. And the last episode I listened to of anybody's podcast was a Chuck Shute podcast. And he interviewed this guy. I've never watched the Netflix thing about him, but when I saw the name, I was just trying to find something to listen to, because I'd listened to so many other things. And I was like, okay, let's see what this is. And it was Joe Exotic, the Tiger King.
I guess I did watch that eventually.
Yeah, I guess that guy is in prison currently, and he was talking to him. I guess he got like a 20-minute phone call from prison. I'm curious as to how he's doing press interviews from prison, and talking about the things he's doing from prison was kind of interesting. But I've never watched that show. I've driven by the place that, you know, because it was right up the highway from where we lived. It was maybe, you know, about a 45-minute drive up the highway going toward Oklahoma from where I live. I remember always seeing that big sign for the Tiger Farm or whatever it was, but he was full of just talking about stuff going on in prison and how he's trying to appeal his case. And I don't really know a lot about it. So it was just interesting to listen to him talk, but it was funny, 'cause there was one point in the phone call where all of a sudden you hear it go, "You have 1 minute remaining," like an automated voice, like you're only going to get 20 minutes and the call's going to just drop, I guess. So, but it was interesting enough. So that's all my podcast and music. I doubt I'll listen to nearly that much next week. So I won't have nearly the time. But yeah. So I guess now we should thank some people that shared the podcast on Twitter. And, you know, people don't share it on Facebook, really.
If they did, because I've shared them on Facebook sometimes, but you can't see who's done it.
Yeah, sometimes you can't.
Because they don't have a public profile.
Yeah.
But thanks to everyone who's on Facebook getting involved on that Facebook page anyway. Even though you can't share it, it's good to see what people have to say on there.
It's a pretty active page. It's getting pretty active, so that's good. That's always good. Lots of chatter going on, so. So, okay, this week I'm going to do the Waffle Zone first, and then we'll do the episode we did. So this is what happened on the Waffle Zone. It said, this week on the Waffle Zone, back in the village, which was a nice way of saying Kirsty's back, right? Back in the Uncle Steve's Iron Maiden Zone village, I guess. And then I decided to write that after I picked the opening music. I was like, eh, that would be a good one. So, and then number two, picking on Matt. Number three, Return of the Queen.
Yes.
Number four, Tales from the Journey. Number five, some Ace talk. Number six, 6-6. Number seven, ways. Is this the last week or the one before it? Seven ways to win. You'll hear why. I think I put that in there again. I don't think
it was. Ways to win twice.
Yeah, I don't think it was the same one. Eight, lots of podcast and music talk to. And nine, the one that Kirsty took exception with, Finland guy talk. Finland guy talk? And then
I just questioned that there was guy talk.
But he's
made it sound like some teen magazine.
I know. It was, well, he is kind of our happening guy in Finland. So let's see if we got 10 reposts, retweets. We got the Scouser, David Laird in Liverpool, England, the chatbot 1.0, Lord Andrew of Sussex, Sonia's husband. Georgie's dad in or near Melbourne, Australia. The most handsome guy, the one that's always on the cover of Finland Guy Talk.
Hey, Villa.
And then we got Jesse, the Riffweiser in Illinois, the official detention teacher of Uncle Steve's Iron Maiden Zone, Matt. Gen Mariyutani. Yeah. Gen Mariyutani in Chiba, Japan. Our very own, the queen here, Kirsty Prince, she shared it. The Judas Priest cast in Walsall. Matt's favorite chef, the Rockarola in Idaho. Mm.
What's he cooking?
Yeah. Then we got a Simeon in France, the man on the street there. And then we got a couple of Quechuas as well. Let's see. First off, we have... Vili Waliwerta, and he said, quite an enjoyable waffle. Glad to hear the power trio back together. Thanks for the birthday wishes. Kirsty nailed it in Finnish. Cheers. And he said, what about Matt, though? Question mark.
I'm not quite as advanced with my Finnish skills as what Kirsty here is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's quite hard.
She puts,
hey, Villa. I'll just say that.
Yeah, she does. Kirsty puts in the time and effort. So, next up, we have the guy whose Twitter handle is at Metal Cavern Podcasting. Not to be confused with the Metal Cabin Podcasting or Metal Kevin Podcasting.
Or Billiam.
Yeah. And he said, so many albums listened to and to collate. Great to hear Kirsty back after... following her travels on the gram. I don't know what that is, but the waffle.
You don't know what the gram is.
Come on.
Like
a Yupal.
Well, like a gram of dope?
I don't think Metal Kevin's on the dope.
Well, maybe.
Oh, he might be. That might explain how he can put so much content in. Speed freak. Oh, I shouldn't say that.
I'll just let you know, it is another word for Insta.
Is that like pudding or something?
Insta pudding?
Yeah.
What is that?
Instant pudding.
I don't know what that is.
You're making that up.
Yeah, they got different kinds of pudding. They got the kind you can cook, and then they got the kind that's instant.
Okay.
So anyway, he said the waffle lives up to its name this week.
Waffle.
Waffle, yeah. Now we got.
I don't know about that because we knocked an hour off from the week before.
And it was really waffle.
Yeah, but there was no murder talk on that episode though. So that was.
No, I wasn't having that. Moving on.
had to bring it up, didn't you? You still fit it in there somehow.
I didn't say pedophile, though.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, so we got this next. I was trying to say this, but, you know, y'all keep trying to divert me over to that conversation again and blame it on somebody else.
Was it that obvious we were doing that, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
I must have missed it.
So I got a three-parter here, Matt. That's what I was trying to say. From the happiest man in podcast land in Chiba, Japan, Genmar Yutani. And he says, the return of the voice of reasoning, the one that suddenly disappeared, Kirsty Prince, means the end of the empire of the waffle clouds of Uncle Steve and Matt. Well-organized waffle is finally back. Let me clarify on my alternate... Why is he doing that here? Okay. Let me clarify on my alternate album opener choices. I know my choices weren't typical so-called openers. However, I believe that album openers should be the introduction and representatives of the entire album. As a big Sabbath fan, I'm totally fine with slower songs or epics to be openers as long as they represent its album well. At this point, I don't think there is any taboo for Maiden. Sign of the Cross, Satellite 15, If Eternity Should Fail, and Senjutsu aren't typical Kickstarters, but awesome openers, in my opinion. I can agree with that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Ah, there she is. She's back. Oh, and then look what this next one says. It's from Kirsty Prince in Perth, Australia, and it says, I'm back. Hear what I listen to on my hashtag journey coming home. There's four songs called Coming Home that I know of now. Cinderella has one. Iron Maiden has one. The Scorpions have one. And Kiss have one. There's got to be more out there than
It's worth singing about, isn't it?
It is. Let's see here. Next up, we got... Oops. Hold on. I just hit the wrong button.
Which is the best coming home out of those four, do you think? 1903.
I love Coming Home by Kiss. I love Coming Home by Cinderella. I like Coming Home by Iron Maiden. And the Scorpions version, I'm not as familiar with, but that is the most rocked up version, though, definitely. Their version might... I would probably, honestly, I know this is an Iron Maiden podcast, but I would probably rank Iron Maiden at the bottom of those four. It's not a song. I'm not a big fan of that one. So
I would pick Cinderella.
I am. I'm a big fan of the Iron Maiden song.
Okay. I like the song. It's just, you know, it's like... It's just not a favorite for me. You think Cinderella is the best out of those, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I've never heard the Scorpions, but out of the other
three, I haven't heard the Scorpions, so I can't really.
I think it's on that album that Bill reviewed, whatever that one was, Love at First Sting or whatever. I think it's on that one.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
I think he played a clip of it or something, because that's when I heard it. I was like, oh crap, they got a song called Coming Home too. So. Next up is Simeon in France, and he said, previous week, we had Willie as a guest, and in this waffle, we have the return of the Power Trio and Ace as an honorable guest to read my reposts. I am deeply honored, Mr. Ace. So, I sent Simeon the Tom Snyder interview when Kiss was on the Tom Snyder show, which is like the best Kiss interview ever, if you like Ace. Because Ace came into it completely blitzed and he just takes the interview over, and you can see on the interview that Gene and Paul are like really getting upset with him because of them taking it over. It's pretty funny. So, okay. Last week's episode was, when we had Chip Ross and he was on with me, and he told us all about the opening night of Bruce Dickinson's Mandrake Project tour. And that one was shared by the Scouse chatbot 1.0, David Laird. It was shared by someone named K.A. I don't know where K.A. is from. Then it was shared by the Weekend Warrior himself, Lord Andrew, the most English of English gentlemen. Let me ask you a question, Kirsty.
Yes.
While you were in England, Did you meet or see anybody that was more English than Andrew?
Well, I went to Blenheim Palace, the birthplace of Winston Churchill, Buckingham Palace, Jeremy Clarkson's farm. I did not find anybody as English as Andrew.
That's awesome. Well, it's confirmed then, Andrew. It's confirmed. So, also, it was shared by Leo Gunn, and I don't know where Leo is from either. Let's see. Yo Vili Walawerta from Finland.
Hey, Villa.
John B. in Bemidji, Minnesota. Let's see here. Gen Maruyatani in Chiba, Japan. The Dave Murray of Uncle Steve's Iron Maiden Zone. Clive. I don't know where Clive is from either. Simeon in France. Kirsty Prince in Perth, Australia. Although when she shared that, she might have been in England. So, the Judas Priest. The Judas Priest cast in Walsall. And last off, Matthew's favorite cook, the Rock-a-Rolla in Idaho. And the Quietrodes go as follows too, Matthew.
Yeah.
The Honorable Counselor, Sir Richard Holmes of the Ulster Unionist Party. And he said, great commentary on the gig. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Villa. Yo, Villa. He says, I'm trying to avoid spoilers, so I'll have to sit this week's main episode out. Just under 2 months to go until the finished show. What's another way he could have said that, Matt?
No, you jumped out for a second, so I was just kind of going with you.
Okay.
Oh, I don't know. What were you going with there, Steve?
Here's
were you wanting Matt to say it in Finnish?
I wanted Matt to say, here's one I can skip.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. we're on Skype. You know, that's how it goes sometimes. Next up, the Metal Cavern Podcasting with Bill. And he says, enjoyed the discussion and rundown of Bruce's first solo gig. Having watched it 3 times, oh boy, on the tube as well, it's a great companion episode in this respect. I didn't realize they were showing that on TV. Was it broadcast when they did it? I didn't know that. That's good. Maybe we'll get
it. You can see it on TV if you watch it on TV via the tube, yes.
You know what the tube is, don't you, Steve? You've heard of that.
Yeah, the TV. I got one downstairs, yeah. So okay, let's
see. You've got a TV downstairs.
Yeah.
Is it locked up?
No, it's just sitting on the TV stand.
It's just free ranging. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's like your house.
Oh.
I've been there.
You know what happens across the road stays across the road.
I'm not going across the road for your house. I know that. I don't want to be. let me just leave that alone. Okay.
Running free across the road.
I don't want to have a flash.
Pulp Fiction moment.
I don't want a flashback of your Bali experience either. So, I don't want my own Bali experience. So, we'll just leave it like that. And he said, it's a great companion episode in this respect. And those new songs sound just brilliant live. So, Matt, have you watched the Bruce show?
Not the whole thing. It was very selective. I looked at certain tracks. I had most interest in the new tracks. And Navigate, the Seas of the Sun, was incredible. I'm going to get on record and say that.
So I'm happy they left that one in.
How could you deny the greatness of that track when performed live? It was outstanding.
I'll take your word for that.
You would need your head read.
I haven't seen that. So,
well, maybe you'll get to see it live. Who knows?
Next year, perhaps.
That reminds me, I'm going to do a poll before we end here. Next up was Kirsty, and she said, fun detailed report of Bruce Dickinson's show from Chip. He leaves nothing out, and it's easy to imagine being there. Next up, we have this guy named Ake Coffee 16 in Columbia, Bogota. And he just gave a fist bump and a beer. So, cheers, sir. Next up, we have Simeon from France. And he said, great report from Chip. Really enjoyed it. Looking forward to seeing Bruce live in Paris. Maybe. I wonder if him...
On the streets or in concert?
Well, could be both.
He could maybe do both.
I wonder if it's in France, if they would be able to, like, because it's a concert, I wonder if he could renew his vows on the stage.
It depends. Where is the stage?
How close is it to where he...
Yeah,
so... next up, another two-parter. So this will be five parters so far from Gen Margutani and Chiba. And he says, a great live report by Chip Ross. Sounds like it was a fantastic night. Bruce's solo materials from the 90s never really got me, but I absolutely love Tyranny of Souls, and I really like the Mandrake Project. If I ever had a chance, I would see this show. By the way, I don't think Steve Harris has ever appeared on the stage of other members' solo projects, and I didn't know this. However, he did play Man on the Edge with Blaze in 2000.
That is so cool.
I know. He said it's very telling how much Steve cared about Blaze even after he left the band. And there's a couple of pictures on here of...
Yeah, I saw those.
Yeah, it's really cool to see Steve on stage with him. And then there's... And one of the guitar players is wearing a Santa hat, too. So I don't know why that is, but maybe it was around Christmas. But that's really cool.
Yeah, Blaze had that Christmas song, didn't he?
Wait, is it the one that Matt was talking about?
No.
Crazy Christmas.
That was only...
We're talking about Blaze. We're not talking about Paul Di'Anno.
Oh, okay. That's the one Matt said like was his favorite, one of his favorite Christmas songs.
Rock and Roll Christmas.
Yeah.
I really like that song.
You say you like the original one better, though?
I didn't know anything about the original. I think I was telling you one day, and then you mentioned something about it.
What's the guy's name? I can't really remember.
Paul Di'Anno.
No, the guy who wrote it. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na. Hey, that guy. Yeah, Gary Glitter. Next up, look at this.
Chip. He did very well, actually.
Da-na-na-na-na-na-na. Hey,
it sounds like you. Sounds like you're starting to take your clothes off there. You got to keep it clean.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Chip Ross.
But we're all good. Cameras are off.
Yeah.
Who knows what he's up to then?
Yeah, exactly. It's not me I'm concerned about after seeing some of the messages you sent me earlier, Matt.
Oh, you sent me a picture of Dicko McBrain. Did you see that one?
I didn't send you that picture. You sent that to
me.
Oh,
that's right. Sorry, I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I walked right.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, you calling my bluff again? Matt?
Sorry. Yeah. Oh, I got that totally wrong. I thought you sent it to me. Oh, God.
Yeah, you sent that to me. Good Lord.
It's like, I wish I'd been on that episode.
There you go. There you go.
That's a bit of a moment. Okay. Wow.
And it's all recorded for people to hear. That's good. That's good. So.
Oh, I tell you what, age is that to catch up with me.
Yeah.
I'm catching up.
So Chip Ross said, such a fun night, and I was still kind of buzzing, even though I was tired when I talked to Uncle Steve. So, let's see here. And the last tweet is from Jesse, and he said, thanks for sharing, Chip Ross. Sounds like it was a great time. And... the last thing I want to read is I did a poll that would have ended right before we started this episode. And I said, if given the choice, would you rather see... because Bruce came out and said that he might be doing a tour in 2025. And somebody asked a question on our Patreon group. And I just said, that sounds like a good question to put as a poll. And I haven't done a... I used to do polls a lot, but... I slowed down on them. I haven't done any in a while. And I thought, I haven't done a poll in a while. Let me throw a poll out there. So I wrote, if you were given a choice, and I'll ask you two this question. I'm sure you both would have voted, or at least Kirsty. Would you rather see Iron Maiden vocalist Bruce Dickinson tour the United States in 2025, Matt, or get a new Iron Maiden album? If you had the choice of only one of those two things, which would you choose?
I think it's pretty easy. What do you think I'd pick?
I'm going to guess that you would pick a new Iron Maiden album.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would really like to see Bruce, but yeah. I'm going to see Bruce for what, an hour and a half, 2 hours, and then it's gone.
Yeah.
Whereas it's been a little while since we had some new Maiden music, and it'll be with me forever.
Hmm. Man, you know, Kirsty, it's a shame that Matt, you know.
Going forwards, I mean,
yeah,
we'd have a new album.
What about you, Kirsty? How would you vote on that?
Well, I don't really feel like I can vote because
let me change it. Let me change it.
You know?
A Bruce Australian tour in 2025 or a new album.
Definitely coming to Perth, and I've definitely got tickets.
And you definitely can do all, you can go to the show, it's in Perth. Which would you vote?
I think I would go to the show.
Rather than
a new Maiden album.
Yeah.
Hmm. I haven't even thought about how I would vote on this, I don't know. I guess if Navigate the Seas of the Sun is in the set, I'll probably say I'll take the new Maiden album too. I would hope to hear the Book of Fel live would be pretty good.
You can hear it live. He's got a live album that's got it.
Does he?
It's not the same, is it? It's not really the same as being there. It's pretty cool, but
yeah. But yeah. So okay. So the voting. Let me ask Max. It sounds like he hadn't seen this. Matt, what out of 446 votes, what percentage of the people do you think voted that they would want a Bruce tour?
How did you word it?
I read it to you. If you were given a choice, would you rather see Iron Maiden vocalist Bruce Dickinson tour the United States in 2025 or get a new Iron Maiden album?
Okay, well, I would think you've narrowed it down to the U.S., but you don't just have a U.S.
I guess I should have said tour where you live. That would
in general. So yeah. I don't think it would really matter. I think that most people are not Bruce centric with their listening, and they're more Maiden centric. So I think it'd be pretty heavily in Maiden album territory versus a Bruce.
Okay,
tour.
Give me a percentage.
Ooh, I think 80 to 85% wouldn't surprise me.
You're close. Yeah, it was the new Iron Maiden album got 87% of the votes. So
yeah, that's not a surprise at all.
Yeah, it was a little farther apart than I thought, though. But I guess if it was, I wonder if it would have been, how much different it would have been, though, if it would have been like, if Bruce was going to tour and in your town, you know?
I don't think it would have mattered. There's been
probably not that much more different.
Because you think about all the times people have come on and said their stories and stuff like that, and you've asked them about the Bruce music.
True.
And a lot of people would say, no, I was put off by this or that, or I just never got into it. That would be my basis on that poll.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, okay. Well, with that, we're done. So, cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Bye.